Welcome everybody to the Script Doctor Podcast. My name is David.
And my name is Casey, and we're your hosts.
And we're here because we love movies and TV shows, and frequently they are very disappointing.
So we created this podcast to discuss and try to fix them. Now I know what you're thinking. Are they real doctors?
No, we're not.
In fact, David and I have bachelor's degrees in business, and boy has that got us so far.
And you may be wondering if we're in the entertainment industry.
No, we are just two friends that are passionate about movies and TV shows and talk about how they could be better. Hi, David.
Hello, Casey.
How are you today?
I'm good. I watched a show.
Did you know?
I did. I saw someone on the plane watching this show, and I was like, huh, that looks interesting. And it was interesting for all the wrong reasons.
Really?
Yes.
I think I watched that show, too.
Did you now? What show was it?
It was Fate, the Wink Saga.
Oh my god. Was it any good?
No, that's why we're here.
Hooray!
Back again with another not-so-great show.
Yeah. And once again, it's on Netflix. It's called Fate, the Wink Saga. And this is such a weird show because...
It was based off of a cartoon first.
Yes.
Yeah.
And everything about this show is totally wrong. The world building is bad. The characters are awful. I don't like almost anybody. The plot line is kind of hard to really follow. The protagonist is kind of sucks. The writing and the dialogue is miserable and loathsome, and it's really hard to even hear these people speak sometimes. Everything is just off. Every single thing is off.
What did you actually like about the show, David?
I mean, basically nothing. Like, here's the thing. This really should have succeeded. It had every chance to succeed. It is an urban fantasy story with a magic high school kind of deal. So there's like a bit of a Hogwarts kind of theme going on as far as like there's a magical school for teenagers. And so we have a proper setup for something at least somewhat interesting. But no, this delves so far into this is so bad that it's like, this is so bad it's good. As in, I saw this and I was like, wow, okay, Casey, you need to watch this because it's so bad.
David, I'm pretty sure you saw it on the plane and I was like, oh yeah, and it reminded me. And I started watching it first and you were like, oh yeah? Then you started binging it and finished it before I did. And
I did
like,
do that.
Okay, David.
I did binge it. That's true. Like, because here's the thing. It's very bingeable. It's only 6 episodes.
Yeah.
About an hour long. So, thank God, though, because this could have been so much
worse.
It's
only sad when a show is really good, like Falcon Winter Soldier. which is not done yet, but it's supposed to be like six episodes.
We just finished the fourth episode.
It's already so good, and it's just like, I can't believe the season is going to end at 6 episodes, and you want it to be more. But in this case, it's kind of like 6 episodes? Oh, okay, thank you.
Yeah, it's much better like that. We may as well just kind of get into it as far as like how this kind of whole thing starts off. The first episode pretty much just opens up with our main protagonist. Her name is Bloom.
Bloom was played by Dorcas in Chilling Adventures of Sabrina.
Right.
That's where we know her from.
Yeah. And credit to where credit is due, I'll say this. She acts nothing like the character Dorcas in Sabrina.
They are two completely different characters, obviously.
Yes.
But, like, when we started watching the show and David was like, Casey, that's Dorcas from Chilling Adventures of Sabrina. I was like, no, it's not. And then I looked at her, because in Chilling Adventures, she has her hair always up in, like, a bun. And this one, her hair is down. It was not the same person to me.
She's almost unrecognizable.
Yeah, so I'll give it to her that, like, her acting is pretty good to do these two different types of character, and I didn't have zero clue.
That being said, she's not that good. She's not exactly elevating this script, but it does show some range on her part. Not much, but it's something. So I'm just going to say that whoever, I don't know her name, but whoever she is, she has at least some talent. She has potential, at least. Just go to more acting classes. You can do it. We believe in you.
Isn't that your advice to the entire cast?
Yes, I was about to say, the acting and performing in this whole thing is off. It's all bad. I'm not kidding. It's all bad. You are not going to find a single moment where it's good. It's all substandard or just inappropriate or just weird or bizarre. And God, these people are just wooden planks just kind of standing there delivering lines that are just as stilted as they are. It's really awful to listen to. The best actor here is this one guy who is from Downton Abbey, Tom Barrow.
That plays Silva?
He plays Silva. He's one of the teachers. One of three staff at this school for at least 100 students.
David was like, he's the best actor. And I was like, really? He didn't do anything for me.
Well, that's the thing. This script is that bad. He can't elevate this. I don't think anybody can elevate this. I don't think Adam Driver could elevate this.
Okay. Jumping in.
Dorcas, who this show is called Bloom, she arrives at the school. She starts getting familiar with things.
She just found out that she was a fairy like a couple months prior.
She finds out she has special powers, that mm-hmm. she's some kind of fire fairy, and their magic generally just derived from emotion. They're in this school called Alfea in a place called the Otherworld in a country called Solaria, which is just your generic kind of urban fantasy otherworld realm. That's all you need to know. It's fine. We never have to say the word Solaria or Otherworld ever again in this conversation. The end.
Okay. Well, we are introduced to all the five main girls.
Yes.
So we have...
They're all roommates.
Yes. In the Winx suite, we have Tara, who's an earth fairy. Musa, who's a mind fairy. We have Stella, who's a light fairy. We have Aisha, who's a water fairy. And of course, Bloom, who's the fire fairy.
They're just five girls in a suite.
Okay.
Yeah. And so Bloom decides she wants to get by herself to practice her fire magic. It kind of goes out of control. Aisha, the water fairy, just happens to be there and just saves her and stuff. And then decides to be really smug and tell her off, I guess, a little bit. And tell her to behave and not be so fiery and brash.
Here's the thing. In this show, they explain that the way to use your magic is only with emotions. And basically, we find out in the beginning that rage and anger are kind of the only emotions we see, more or less, that are driving. Effective. Yeah, that are effective at getting your magic to work. To give Bloom the benefit of the doubt, she literally just found out she was a fairy 2 months prior, and pretty much everybody who's a fairy in that school have all grown up in that other world. So they've known about their powers since the moment they've got them, so they've been able to use them and perfect them more than she's been able to do so far. But they're all still learning. Anywho, the emotions drive, or are supposed to drive, your magic.
This is where we have our first really weird world-building decision. As in, your emotions are driving your magic if you are a fairy. Here's the thing, though. During the rest of the show, with the exception of Bloom, we really don't see anybody be emotional when they use their magic.
Yeah, everybody just uses magic like
whenever
normal...
they want.
Yeah, so it's like, I understand emotion could be literally any emotion, but it doesn't show that they're doing that. So, like, what's the point of saying... use your emotions, but it doesn't seem like anybody is except for the newbie.
Yeah, it's really weird, and it's a bad decision because either the actors are really that bad at performing, or the directing and the way that people were being asked to behave when they were using their magic and pretending was really awful, and it's all off. And that's just the constant thread throughout this whole show, is that the magic is just kind of happens when it's convenient.
Yeah, so... That happens. Bloom loses control. Aisha saves her.
And she explains to her that, oh man, sorry Bloom, you're a changeling. We don't know what that is yet.
I do like that they explained what a changeling is, like, right off the bat. Instead of, like, you're a changeling.
Thank God.
End of episode, moving on. So they did explain what it is, which basically means, like, the fairy parents or fairy people, when she was born, they replaced her with a human baby.
And so that's kind of the main beat for this episode. We kind of establish our characters, and we have a goal for our protagonist, at least, which is that she needs to find out who she is. We find out that she lost control at some point, and she almost killed her adoptive parents, and that's it.
Yeah.
That's the end of that episode.
In episode 2, we get to know Dowling a little bit more, which is the headmistress.
Our Dumbledore analog.
Yes, that is basically, in David's terms, the worst parts of Dumbledore put into one.
All condensed into one single person.
And we'll get into that more later.
Yeah.
But basically, in the beginning, Bloom confronts the headmistress and asks her if she's a changeling. And basically, she's like, I didn't want to tell you because you were already dealing with so much. And I didn't basically want to tell you that your parents are not your parents as well, as finding out that you're a fairy and whatnot.
Yay.
Super kind.
It's super kind. It's super considerate. Just telling her stuff that, you know, or not telling her things that she probably should have known about herself.
I understand she's a teenager and obviously, like, is being introduced to this new world, to this magic, etc. But it is a lot to deal with, but she deserves to know the truth.
She's already telling her that she's a different species. You may as well just go ahead and tell her that she's also a changeling.
And it would also make sense, too, because it's like, okay, her parents aren't one. Be like, oh.
It would kind of explain a lot in her life. Anyway, but then we also have some drama with Stella, who is the blonde. She is the light fairy. She is
a literal princess.
She's a literal princess of the country where they are. Mm-hmm. If you can imagine Regina George from Mean Girls, except much more poorly written, that's Stella here in Fate.
Pretty much.
Yeah.
She demands that Bloom, Aisha, and Musa, I believe?
Yeah, I think.
She demands that most of her sweet mates go and help her find the ring that Bloom lost in the previous episode. Not intentionally, accidentally. But it was a gift from her mom, who's a queen, and she's like, I need that back.
It's a family heirloom and all that.
And I'm the princess, you need to help me.
Peace. Like, she doesn't, does she even go? I don't think she goes. No, she does go, but then she gets sent back because she's kind of useless, apparently.
Like, yeah, she doesn't do the work.
Yeah.
Her emotions weren't working in that moment because they needed some light. It was dark.
It's hard to figure out what's going on.
Yeah.
Because it's just really all over the place.
Basically, they have to find the scary burned one. And somehow these 16-year-olds think that they can handle this, of course. And they find the burned one. It's about to attack
Bloom. It's a scary monster.
Yeah. It's about to attack Bloom. And then Aisha kind of pushes it out and it stabs it. And Bloom finds the ring inside of it. Also, if they explain a little bit later, but if you're scratched by a burn one,
you get a curse.
Basically, yeah, you're gonna die soon.
Yeah.
And when she went to go stick her hand in the burn one's body, I was like, I know it's not scratching, but you're touching it.
Yeah.
So I felt like maybe she'd get a curse from that. She didn't, but she just like, let me just reach in its body and let me get that ring real quick.
Also, it could have just been still dying. It might have bitten her finger off or something.
I know, but...
But this is our protagonist, and she's semi-invincible.
And she's pretty, she can't.
No, it's true. It's a teen drama show. None of these characters are going to get scars or get maimed at any level.
No.
It's fine. No matter how dangerous the situation is, it's fine.
Yeah.
So anyway, the girls go on this little expedition. They find the ring. They find one of their teachers. One of their three teachers for this
school. One of the only three teachers that we ever see in this show.
For a school of at least 100 people.
Yeah.
This is
it was really funny when David and I were discussing this the other day. David was just like, so they literally just have three teachers teaching all these students. And I was like, stop, David. I wrote that in my notes.
Yeah, this is like U.S. public school levels of teacher-student ratio.
Yeah.
It's really crazy. And so they find the teacher there. He's injured. They bring him back. And so we also get introduced to another character. And she seems secretive, and she's like a spy, and she's trying to get into the headmistress's office for some reason, and she starts making friends with the bad boy in school. Oh man, end episode.
Yeah, she's basically the mean girl-ish, sort of. She is the...
She's the actual bad girl.
Yeah.
And so episode 3 starts off, Bloom has a vision, some random vision, about the woman who apparently left her in the real world. And it's this woman called Rosalind. Bloom asks Dowling about Rosalind, and Dowling confirms that Rosalind was a person that she knew, was the...
She was her mentor.
Her mentor, but she tells Bloom that...
She's dead.
That she's dead. That she's totally dead. She's very super dead.
Which we find out at the very end of this episode that that is not true.
Dowling is a redundant liar. Well, not a redundant liar,
David, she's an adult... And a teacher. She's an adult, therefore a liar.
That's
in
funny.
A teenage drama show.
That's true. And then all the girls find out that the specialists are gonna throw a party. Now,
woo.
Woo. Now, who are the specialists, Casey?
They are basically humans, for the most part, born in this world, the other world.
Yep.
That get to train and basically be soldiers, I suppose.
Apparently. And what's really weird is that they're trained to use swords and wear armor, even though it's not very good armor. But they don't actually... Like, they have cell phones. They have modern devices, but they never actually say or explain exactly why they can't just use guns. Because, listen, the swords are great, but they could really use some guns here against these burned ones, because they're not smart creatures, these burned ones. This is another mistaken world building. Like, it'd be really nice to have a specific reason why they can't use guns.
They could be a sentry behind David.
Except with their phones?
Yeah.
Oh, you're right. I'm sorry. I'm so sorry.
It's okay. It's fine. It's not your fault.
But then, once again, Silva, who is the headmaster who was injured in the previous episode, one of his students, this guy called Sky.
Which is basically like...
He's our main love interest.
Yes, to Bloom and Stella.
Oh, man.
Love triangle. But to Silva, Silva is basically Sky's father figure. He was his father's best friend, and his father is passed.
Yes.
And that's his only family figure, as far as we know, in his life at all.
Let's talk about Sky for a second. I've said before that the acting in this show is awful. Mm-hmm. Sky is the worst one. If they recast Sky to be an ugly person, but it's a great actor, I'm all for it. I'm ready for a person who looks like Shrek, but can act really good.
David was asking me before this episode, he was like, is he, like, predominantly cute or something like that?
Like, is he considered handsome for his age or something?
And I looked and I was like, I mean, I guess he's cute for, like, a high school guy. Like, he just looks like a baby face high school teenager.
He's just some
that
kid.
That looks like he's a popular guy for sure because he's hot. In high school terms, but he's not mean-looking, like a bully jock guy.
This kid who plays Sky has the chance to deliver a really nice dramatic scene alongside Silva, who is dying. His father figure, his dad, is basically dying, mm-hmm. and he has the chance to have this really nice dramatic scene. And it's just squandered, and it's painful, and it's wooden, and I'm just like, ugh. It's just painful to listen to this guy just talk and deliver lines.
Yeah. Then we move on to Bloom and her friends trying to fight the burn one again.
Another one,
yeah. And they're fighting it, and then the headmistress, Dowling, comes in and finishes it off. And then they go back to school, and they find out that Silva's healing. So it said basically that if you're scratched by a burn one, you basically have to kill it so you're healed.
To remove some kind of curse or whatever.
Yeah, but if you don't, then you're gonna die.
Yay. Meanwhile, Beatrix, that one girl who we introduced in the last episode, managed to get into Dowling's office, and that they discover that Rosalind is actually being held captive in some secret passageway in Dowling's office?
Yeah, she looks like she's under... She's obviously in
prison.
Yeah, but...
It's really weird.
Yeah.
So, that's the third episode. In the fourth episode, the Queen of Solaria arrives. It's Stella's mom. And Stella hates her mom with a passion. And this episode makes that kind of clear why. It's really bizarre. The Queen is comically evil in this show. She is callous. She is bitter. At one point, she's given the option to, like, maybe condemn some students to death.
David, she's the Queen.
Oh, she can do whatever she wants.
Yes.
I'm sorry.
Yes.
No consequence.
She's a Queen.
So she has the chance to, like, spare some students' lives by just, you know, having more troops arrive at some point. And she's like, eh, whatever. Like,
I'll spare you for today.
Yeah, this is almost Cersei levels of evil, except not nearly as interesting. Mm-hmm. And it's really weird and jarring, not because of the tone of the show as much as just because this character is kind of coming out of nowhere and just being evil. She's just a blank slate so that we can have somebody bad doing bad things. It's really weird. But nonetheless, the Queen feels that Stella, her daughter, is not living up to her potential.
At Alfea.
And so she just says, we're going home. And she takes Stella with her back to wherever they live, wherever that is.
Yeah.
They're gone.
So no more Stella for now. Then we move on and we see Dowling with the other two only teachers.
Oh my God.
Investigating the death of her assistant that happened in the previous episode.
Who's teaching all these kids magic?
David, we have the headmistress,
okay.
The garden guy, and...
The Hufflepuff man?
Yes, and the... What's his name?
Silva?
Yes, who teaches the specialist. So you have a specialist teacher, so he's not teaching the other students. And then you have the garden teacher, who's only teaching garden stuff. You have the headmistress who teaches everything else, I suppose.
So we have one staff member, one teacher to teach.
For the fairies, more or less.
For the fairies. And she's also
Unless you're an earth fairy, then you have another one too.
Oh, got it.
Yes.
Oh, it makes perfect sense that these hundreds of students would have of just course. One teacher. It's fine.
Of course.
It's fine. Casey, it's fine.
I know, it's fine. Anyways.
Oh my God, it's ridiculous.
So later they find out it's Beatrix, but at the moment they don't know. And we have Beatrix and Bloom bonding.
They're talking, getting to know each other, and making connection.
Yeah, and Beatrix is trying to explain to Bloom that Rosalind, the girl that she found in Dowling's office, is an ally, and she wants to break her out. And she basically tells a story about this place called Astordel, where Dowling and Silva and...
Earth teacher.
Yes, basically...
committed an atrocity there.
Yeah, a massacre. She's basically making Bloom think that possibly her biological parents were in Astordel because it was like a couple days right before her birthday.
And that they were killed in this massacre by her three teachers.
Yeah, and it was covered up. So they go and see it. It's literally hidden and...
hidden magically.
Yeah, hidden magically. They see the ruins and they head back. And at this point, they found out that Beatrix killed the assistant. They pull him over. And they arrest Beatrix, and Dowling is like, so what'd you guys talk about? What'd she tell you? And Bloom basically just covers up and is just like, oh, we just went for a joyride. Because she still wants to figure out what's going on.
Our protagonist, everybody.
Because basically the adults will not tell the truth ever.
So heroic.
Yeah. So that was episode 4.
And so in episode 5, Bloom visits the imprisoned Beatrix. And Beatrix tells Bloom to free her so that together they can go ahead and free Rosalind. So all of the sweet mates catch wind of Bloom's plan to free Beatrix, including Stella, who has run away from her mom.
And came back to school.
And has come back to school. They all agree to help Bloom with her crazy little free Beatrix plan, with the exception of Aisha, who's a bit of a stick in the mud.
Yeah.
Yeah. Meanwhile, Skye's been told to spy on Bloom. They had been connecting romantically earlier.
And they can obviously tell that Bloom's not telling them something.
Yeah.
But
Bloom is bad at lying.
Yeah, but she's like, I can't trust these people. They're not telling me anything, so why should I tell them?
Which, at this point, she's right. She has every reason to distrust these people.
Yeah.
Dowling is Dumbledore secrecy levels times 20, except in all the worst ways. And so Skye and Bloom kiss, but she's drugged him.
Before they did.
Before, whatever. But then they get to go on with their little plan. The girls minus Aisha go free Beatrix. They go to Dowling's office. They confront the first trap. And they make Beatrix set off the trap so that she's immobilized. It's fine. And then the girls let...
So they basically use Beatrix.
Yeah.
To still get Rosalind out, but they still don't trust her because they know that she killed the assistant. So even though she might have some things that are truthful to Bloom, she still killed that guy for whatever her reason is.
It's a smart idea.
Yeah.
And it's all conceived by Stella.
Yeah.
Who is my favorite one of the five.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So they break in, Bloom goes in alone, and essentially releases Rosalind.
Meanwhile, we also find out there's a whole bunch of burned ones who are on their way to the school or something.
Well, for now, they're technically protected because the border
is
still... Yeah, the barrier is still up.
But there's a bunch of them visible.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So that is the end of that one.
And so episode 6 starts with Rosalind explaining to Bloom how special she is and that Astordel was filled with blood witches. And so it's totally okay that they destroyed it or whatever. It's cool.
It's a justified massacre.
Yay! And so Rosalind just kind of goes on and on about how powerful Bloom is, about how she is so cool, how she's just the most chosen one and special of all the fairies ever.
The special of the specially specials.
Exactly.
And the specialist.
Exactly, but not a specialist. And so, at this point, meanwhile, the burned ones are kind of getting close to the school because Rosalind absorbs power from the barrier. And at a moment when Skye should have his mind emotionally focused on...
protecting the school.
On protecting the school and the battle ahead, Silva decides to drop an emotional bomb on him.
Mm-hmm.
This emotional bomb goes thusly. that Silva killed Skye's dad because Skye's dad was endorsing a war crime, and Silva was like...
He was following orders.
Yes. And Silva's like, well, hang on.
He was like, are you going to go based off of your orders or based off of your morals?
And saying that war crimes are bad. Mm-hmm. And this is the level of discourse and complication we're at here in Fate the Wings Saga. Are war crimes bad?
Are they justified?
Or are they justified? Oh my god. The show is so insightful. Hashtag sarcasm.
Going back to Bloom, Rosalind basically wants to access Bloom's full power, but then Bloom realizes that she's being used, and she runs back to Alfea, the school, to help the school.
Mm-hmm. Help the defenses.
Yes. And she realizes that since the Burn Ones are after her, that she should run off and draw them away from the school and protect everyone else. And when she does that, she gets them away from the school, and then she basically activates her full fairy power and gains quite literal fairy wings.
They're bad CGI fairy wings.
Yes. And then she basically takes what's called a cinder, but what makes the burned one a burned one, away from them. So when she does that, they turn into the humans that they used to be.
She's supposed to have fire powers, but apparently the fire powers give her telekinesis.
Ability to move
things with her mind. This show just wants magic whenever it's convenient for the script. It doesn't matter if it actually makes sense with rules and stuff like that, like fire powers, because Bloom has fire powers. She doesn't have telekinesis.
Mm-hmm.
None of that should tell us that she should be able to remove this thing from wherever is in these people's bodies, or these corpses' bodies, or whatever they are.
Yeah. So she does that and basically kills them. So they turn back to humans or whatever they used to be, but they're dead.
Either way, I'm pretty sure half the show's budget was spent just on this little scene. This little CGI exposition. And so the battle's over. Things calm down. Rosalind is met by Dowling, and they're in a graveyard and they're having a conversation. Rosalind is cryptic about things, says that Bloom has dragon fire powers. Oh my god.
What if dragon she's a, flame.
Dragon flame powers, excuse me. What if she's a secret Targaryen?
Yes.
That'd be really funny. Oh my god. This is a secret vehicle for Game of Thrones.
Mm-hmm.
That'd be really
funny. They're trying.
Oh my god. It's not that good. And so they have a conversation. Rosalind explains that the Burned Ones used to be soldiers in some ancient war.
Thousands of years ago.
And then Rosalind just kind of kills Dowling.
Pretty easily, too. It didn't even look like she fought back.
No, it doesn't. She kind of spoke words at Dowling, and she just bites it.
Yeah.
Our Dumbledore analog is so pathetic that she can't even get the chance to fight back to do anything.
Mm-hmm.
Yay. I kind of hope she's not back for the next season.
We'll see, I suppose, but I guess there has to be some death.
It's fine. I'm okay with that. So the queen arrives at Alfea, and she places Silva under arrest for the attempted murder of Andreas, Skye's dad.
He's like, what?
And then Andreas gets out of a car. He's alive. And Skye's like, what?
Yeah.
And so Silva, they're like, what? Mm-hmm. And then...
basically, Rosalind, Andreas, and the queen have taken over Alfea.
Yay.
Yeah. And meanwhile, while that part had been happening, Bloom had taken her and her roomies back to Earth to meet her parents.
Her adoptive parents, apparently.
Yes. And she was like, hey, Mom and Dad, you mind if my friends come over? And they're like, sure.
All four of them?
Yeah. And then they come inside.
House and feed us.
And then she's like, now that they're inside and we have company, I want to tell you so many emotional things you won't even know what to do with it. Basically, she tells her parents that she was the one that accidentally burned her mom and burned the house when she found out about her powers, that she is a fairy, in fact, and that she is, in fact, not their biological daughter, and that their biological daughter did have that heart defect that they mentioned in episode 1, but she died. So basically they had to mourn the death of their actual daughter, take in that their adoptive daughter is a fairy, and then also that she accidentally not only burned the house, but burned her mom and almost killed them.
Sorry, Mom.
While there's company. Oh my God. And then they move to the next scene where everybody's just having a fun time. And then her parents are looking at her having friends because it didn't seem like she had them before.
And they're so happy and everything. Yeah. Hunky dory and
so realistic.
These characters don't act like realistic portraits of human beings.
I could not stand the scene because I was just like, okay, you want your friends to meet your parents? That's fine. But if you want to go ahead and tell them the truth, tell them the truth before they're there.
In private, too.
Yes. Like, go home by yourself. Mm-hmm. If you really want them to come, you can tell all your parents, be like, I know this is a lot, but I really would like you to meet my friends from that world that have helped me become who I am right now.
Yeah.
And if you're not ready for that, it's fine. I can bring them another time. If you are, they're not far. And they could be like, I don't want to do this right now, which they probably would be like.
It also would have been kind of helpful to have, like, have Dowling explain all this to the parents.
Yeah.
Because she's a crazy teenager. They might be like, oh, whatever, Bloom, just
well, obviously she can show them her power.
She can show them her powers, but, like, everything else, like, mm-hmm. even Bloom doesn't know all the details. Bloom doesn't know entirely what a changeling is, like, by herself.
Mm-hmm.
A person who's more of an expert, like, say, Dowling, the headmistress, would know more.
Well, obviously she could have asked Dowling to come with her, but in this moment, Dowling was being killed.
Because she was just hanging out at this graveyard for no reason.
Yeah.
To go talk with Rosalind for I don't know why.
Yeah. So after that, Bloom and her roomies are also happy. They're on their way back to Alfea. You have them all lined up. They're all laughing. And then they start and look at the school and then all their faces drop. And you see the queen, Rosalind, and Andreas in the swarm of...
troops.
Yes. All around waiting for them. At the school.
They were all expected. At that one precise moment, yeah. They were like, okay, everybody, get ready. Yes. Places, everybody.
And then, scene, end of season.
Ugh, man. This show is so bad, it's really funny.
Mm-hmm.
But at the same time, it's a bit exhausting because it does wear thin after a bit. Like, I can't watch all this show at once. Because no.
Yeah, it's just all over the place.
It really is all over the place.
And obviously, there was a bit of a hype for it once the trailer came out because the cartoon, I remember I watched the cartoon. I honestly couldn't tell you what happened in it, but it was popular. So bringing it to life was like, oh, that's cool.
Yeah. Again, this show should have worked. It's a urban fantasy setting with some teenagers involved. Great. A fine premise. But like we said, the world building is all wrong. The burned ones are way too powerful. And there's only like 6 of them. But apparently 6 of them can threaten 100 students. Which is really sad, as far as the condition of education is in Alfea.
Yeah. So, David, how would we go about fixing this?
We have to fix all the things.
Everything.
Everything has to be fixed.
Brand new show.
Brand new show, basically.
Brand new actors and actresses.
If I could recast everybody, I would.
Yeah.
Everybody gets a recast. The only one that maybe gets... No. The only ones who might get a pass, maybe, if I'm generous, would be Bloom, Stella, and Musa. That's it. Everybody mm-hmm. else can go. Sorry. Go find other work. And I have advice for the kid who plays Sky. He's not a kid, he's an adult, but like, the guy who plays Sky. Listen, whoever you are, go find Ian McKellen, the guy who plays Gandalf, and I want him to refer you to an acting coach who can run you through every single role in Shakespeare's works. Have him teach you and help you go through all those roles. And once you come out of the other side of this journey, you'll probably be pretty good. At least much better than you are now.
Mm-hmm.
So please, whoever you are, get on that. Your career depends on it.
Lord.
I know. I hope he gets my desperate message and plea for his career.
Oh, I'm sure.
Anyway. No, so the cast is all wrong. The writing needs to be tightened up. Everybody kind of sounds like each other.
Mm-hmm.
So we have to make it different and make it so that everybody sounds a little bit different. Maybe Dowling speaks very eruditely, almost very slowly, very calmly, versus Bloom, who might be like, you know, desperate and say like, give me answers, I want answers, I want answers, give them to me now, Dowling,
mm-hmm.
whatever. Which would be a great contrast to Dowling being like, well, hang on, Bloom, let me tell you about A, B, and C, because you don't know about A, B, and C. But no, Dowling sounds like a teenager sometimes.
Yeah.
Everybody sounds exactly the same in the show.
I feel like in any high school teenage drama, pretty much all the adults and teenagers and everybody all act like teenagers.
Which is a huge problem.
And idiots.
I know, and it's awful. what's good about teenage drama is when we have the contrast between the adults and the teenagers. And seeing the teenagers struggle with what it's like to grow up and stuff like that. Mm-hmm. That's where the drama is. We get none of that, really, here in this show. All we get is a poorly constructed love triangle between Stella, Sky, and Bloom, which really doesn't have much of a payoff.
Not really, no.
No. And then a magical world with rules that are just changing on the fly. And we also have the plot thread that's kind of hard to follow sometimes. Some things just kind of happen just because. Like that vision.
Oh, when Rosalind somehow infiltrates Bloom's mind.
The vision that Bloom has about Rosalind just kind of happens out of nowhere. For no reason whatsoever. She could have had it when she was 40. She could have had it when she was 5. She could have had it when she was...
The way that I took it was, I guess, and again, this is doing work for the writers, because she was at the school and she was closer to her. Rosalind was in the prison, so maybe she sensed Bloom's presence was near.
Mm-hmm.
So then that's why she gave her the vision.
Which would have been a great little character flavor thing. Mm-hmm. That would have been a perfect little device. That would have been fine if they actually bothered to show that that's what happened.
Yeah.
But they never did. And the show's budget shows its restraints a lot. There are tons of students, tons of extras, but there are only 3 teachers. It seems like they couldn't afford to just...
Like, I understand you can't focus on every teacher, but at least in, like, other shows, like, yeah, you might see some other teachers that are, like, you see more, but then you see the others in passing.
Yeah, exactly. Because, like, they have to go to other classes, too.
Yeah.
And what's more is also just that they reuse a lot of sets. And, like I said, the cast is relatively small. There's about maybe 10 or 12 people. That's it.
I might have said this before, but... There should be definitely enough teachers for each fairy power, so you need to have a teacher for the earth and the water and fire, etc.
That'd have been fine.
And then you can have the headmistress teach all the fairies, if need be. And obviously you have your specialist one, and then maybe you can have one where they're all integrated, like basic knowledge that everyone has to know.
Now, if we're gonna keep the cast as is, which basically there's Beatrix and her 2 friends... There's the 5 girls. We're up to 8 now. Mm-hmm. 3 teachers, that's 11. And then Andreas and the queen, that's like maybe 13. That's it. A little over 12. 13 people. A baker's dozen.
And then the boyfriend of Musa.
Right. So Sam. We're like roughly 13 and 14 at total. Andreas' dad just kind of shows up at the end. So it's more like 13 to 14 at the end.
Mm-hmm.
But anyway, what I would do instead is just scale it back. Make it so that it's not a school of several hundreds of students. Just make it so that it's like a very exclusive, very private school. At most, say 20 to 25 students. Just the upper elite of this fairy country or whatever.
Mm-hmm.
And so that way, that would explain why Stella's there, because she's getting the best tutors.
She's the princess.
She's the princess, and it would explain why they really are only like 3 teachers here.
Yeah.
And it would just kind of really drive home the fact that this is a very exclusive school, and... Listen, that would kind of help you save your budget and stuff like that. You don't have to hire all these extras to just walk around looking like adult students in this high school drama.
True.
Yeah. That's one thing I would do, for sure.
Yeah.
One important thing that I would do that really isn't established very well in the show is just the details, the little details. For instance, I mentioned guns earlier. They need to explain why it is that they don't use guns. This is an otherworldly, magical place. Maybe they can just say that gunpowder doesn't work the same here like it does in the real world.
Mm-hmm.
Just something like that. They could just explain that gunpowder just doesn't work the same way in the real world as it does in this very realm. Very simple. Nothing complicated about that. That's just a for instance. They don't have to do that, but they can say almost anything else. But something to explain why they don't use regular firearms. Because the reason why they don't use guns is kind of a little pointless.
Yeah.
And also, I would just make the rules of magic a little fixed and make it clear that when people are using magic, that they are using their emotions. If we're going to have that as a rule...
Like, draw on a happy memory. If the happy memory doesn't work, draw on anger. It's not what we
suggest. Or sad, or something.
Yeah. Whatever emotion works for you. We obviously don't want you to only draw from the bad ones. But we want you to be able to essentially draw up your magic on cue.
Right. And that could maybe even be a thing that divides some of the students, is that, whoa, you're always angry when you use your magic. What's your problem? And then
why are you always depressed?
Or why are you so sad and depressed? Yeah. Or why are you so happy all the time? We're not having happy fun time here. Mm-hmm. And so, like, that kind of thing. That can be another way to flavor the world here. But no, this world is flat
and you have lifeless. You have somebody who draws from anger and rage. And then you have all these other girls who just have the magic. And they just do it. And we're not seeing them draw from any emotion. The only time, besides with Bloom, that it's mentioned is, like, when Stella was doing her magic and she went like this.
Yeah.
And then Bloom was just like, you just looked at me when you did that. So, like, do you not like me, basically?
Yeah.
Is that where you were drawing from?
Yeah.
So, pick one.
Yeah, you could do lots of little things to flavor your world and to make it interesting so that we could actually have more plot lines going on.
Mm-hmm.
Something to just immerse us. And that we can follow along with these characters.
Yeah. Then following this, we would like to basically make the girls kind of like a mean girl type of group. How David mentioned earlier that Stella is basically Regina George.
Yeah.
And then also Stella is a sophomore and the rest of the suite mates are...
They're first years. They're freshmen.
Yeah. So they come in. A princess wants them to be a part of her crew. So they're
a new little squad.
Yeah. So then they're all like, well, I mean, we're freshy freshmen, of course. So.
And this is the princess, of course.
Yeah. And basically everybody is just like, okay, Regina George, she's awesome. She's the princess. Mm-hmm. She's going to be our queen one day, literally.
Exactly.
Like, nobody disrespects her. And.
We can get perks.
Yeah. And basically she just bosses them around.
Yeah.
Obviously. They don't like it, but then they also don't want to get on her bad side. And they later learn that the previous year, which was mentioned in the storyline that she had a best friend and she accidentally blinded her.
She lost control of her magic and unintentionally blinded her.
Yeah. In the show, her mom basically made her tell everyone.
That she did it on purpose.
Yeah, so people would fear her and look at her as being strong and powerful. So we would just want it where, like, that can still happen. And maybe she had a couple other friends that were her posse the year before.
Yeah.
But then when that happened, of course, the blind girl no longer goes to the school anymore. And then the other two friends are like, we don't want to be your friend anymore after what you did to her. And they are basically shunned and losers.
And one very important thing to do while this is happening is to make sure that it's clear that it's not just Stella bossing them around. Like, she's actually being nice sometimes, and that she's, you know, is a regular person to some extent, and that she is being friendly to them when they are on her good side.
Mm-hmm.
Make it clear that, you know, she can be a mostly good person, at least when she feels that they're listening to her.
Yeah. So, basically, we would have it where they're her mean girl group. Eventually, the girls from the previous year tell them what happened. And in a sense, they're just like, well, we already don't want to be on her bad side, but that makes us not even want to be on her bad side even more.
Yeah.
And over the course of time, someone like Aisha. Breaks. Yeah. Aisha's like, I don't want to deal with this anymore. And then she's still a sweet mate, but Stella just shuns her off.
Yeah.
You're no longer a part of our mean girl group.
Bye.
Yeah. And then the other girls, like, they kind of feel the same way, but they don't say anything because they don't want to get on her bad side.
Yeah.
And then we want to kind of come to a point where...
They confront her.
In private. But confront her and tell her, we're not your minions.
Yeah, something like that.
Yeah. We want to be your friend, but it doesn't seem like that's what you want. It seems like you just want to use us, or you just want someone in your group because everyone else is scared of you now.
Exactly.
And she basically is hurt.
And she leaves.
Yeah. And she goes with her mom, despite her hating her mom, but she goes anyway.
So then when Stella goes back with her mom, she realizes just how much she actually does hate her mom, and decides that she wants to go back with her friends. And she goes back, and she just has a somewhat come-to-Jesus moment.
She really wants to be friends with them, but she doesn't really know how to be friends, like true friends with people, because she's always been the princess. People have always wanted her to be her friends, but for the wrong reasons, and they would literally just do whatever she wanted. So she never really had to actually care for other people.
Something like that.
Yeah. So basically, she tells him that, and of course, like, they care for her, too. And they
except for Aisha. I just don't think Aisha and Stella would be friends.
No, but, I mean, they're all sweet mates, so I feel like there'd be a moment where...
they would function together, at least.
Yeah, and they'd be like, okay, group hug. And it's like, okay, we're better now.
Something like that.
And we would still have it where Rosalind still removes the magic from the school so Bloom can figure out her powers and everything.
We can still have the plot threads mostly going. It's just an issue of, like, make the sweet mates the emotional core of the show.
Yeah.
Yeah. More than that, I mean, the plot isn't great. And the burned ones are way too strong. The outcomes as far as fighting them are either you die or you destroy them.
Mm-hmm.
And so something that I think it would kind of help is just, like, make the burned ones less lethal. Because we get a weird FaceTime call in the middle of the show where, like, they just tear people apart. Almost like nothing.
Yeah. This soldier basically calls them and is just like, there's so many more. They're like, what? And then the burned ones run over her or kill her. Well, they do kill her, but they're, like, running over the phone. So they're getting to see her murder. But also they get to see how many burn ones there actually are, and which the amount is just many.
It's just, the amount is just many, but, like, Bloom takes out, like, 10 of them effortlessly, which makes me think that a platoon full of soldiers couldn't take on,
like... a child who just found out, which we don't know how long anything's happened in the show.
Oh, yeah, there's no sense of time but anywhere.
It, yeah, so it seems like it's probably just a couple months or something.
If but even that, we don't even know.
Of knowing that she was a fairy for a couple months and then being at the school... which doesn't even seem that long.
No.
And she can do that. It's like, okay.
Yeah. Things just happen in the show. It seems a little
much. You gotta lead up to that.
It is absolutely too much. You have to earn that kind of moment. And the moment was not earned at all.
Mm-hmm.
A lot of things in this show just kind of happen because they just need to happen because we need a plot and we need to create a drama.
Yeah.
So that's mostly what we'd fix. I mean... I can't think of anything else other than to say fix the dialogue. I think I said that already. But other than that, there's not much to do. Again, it's still not perfect. But the show has the foundations of a solid urban fantasy series. This first season sucks bad, but
they were good enough to be renewed for season two. So.
Yes, they were.
So will we be back here for a celebration episode or a regular one like this?
That would be the most shocking thing if season two of Fate the Wink Saga turns out to be a celebration episode.
I don't think it would, but...
No.
We can have hope. It's fine.
I hope to God we're wrong. But if we're not, we will be here for you.
Yes, we will. Well...
well, thanks you guys for listening to us.
Yes.
Casey, what would you recommend... instead of this big pile of trash?
Well, I would recommend my quite literal number one favorite television show ever.
It's your number one favorite show ever?
It is, yeah.
Wow.
The Vampire Diaries.
Whoa.
So good. It's on Netflix. I believe it's 7 seasons. I mean, it's a teenage high school. Eventually they get out of high school, but like,
oh, okay.
Teenage drama show.
Yeah.
And I fell in love with it. I love the whole universe. There's Vampire Diaries, the originals, and they have a spinoff of Legacies.
Jeez.
Vampire Diaries and originals are the really good ones. Legacies is not, which we will actually cover eventually, but...
yes.
That's my recommendation. I personally don't think you would be disappointed if you're into those type of shows.
I can't help but feel the need to add an asterisk to your suggestion.
David, you haven't even watched it, so you cannot comment.
I can't comment, but I can express a fact, and there is a fact that some of the writers on Fate the Wink Saga were the same writers who were on Vampire Diaries.
I read that, but despite that, I promise if you're into this type of show, you will like Vampire Diaries.
Fair enough.
Yeah. I can't say everyone would like it. Like, it's not everybody's cup of tea.
Fair enough.
Yeah.
I've never watched Vampire Diaries. I have no horse in this race. Other than to say, I know Fate sucks.
Mm-hmm.
And so, if the same writers are leaving from there to go do Fate, oof.
But, David, Vampire Diaries was so popular enough to have Vampire Diaries a spinoff of the originals, and then the originals had a spinoff of Legacies.
So, even if it's kind of meh, it's probably not that meh.
Yeah.
It sounds pretty fun, at least.
Mm-hmm. So, do you have a suggestion, David?
I'm not gonna lie, I'm not an expert in good teen drama things.
Mm-hmm.
I remember watching The Breakfast Club years and years ago. That's a movie from the 80s. It's a really good movie, at least as far as I remember.
I have not seen it.
I know. You were born 3 years ago. I was born in 1865 after the Civil War.
I know.
But The Breakfast Club is a pretty good, if I remember correctly, I could be wrong. God help me. Forgive me if I'm wrong. I haven't rewatched that movie in a long time. A good teen drama movie. But if you prefer to watch a show, listen, go on Netflix and just watch Stranger Things. It's an excellent show. There is some teen drama, but it's not about teen drama.
It's basically about middle schoolers.
That's one thing. It's about lots of different kinds of things. But anyway, but if you want to watch Breakfast Club, you can get on Peacock and you can watch it free with ads.
And then you can watch Vampire Diaries and Stranger Things on Netflix.
Yay!
So thank you guys for listening.
Casey, what are we doing next week?
Oh, yeah. Oh. Oh, we're doing a celebration episode. Oh, okay, guys, this is my birthday month, so technically this is supposed to be a different type of special episode, but since it's my birthday month, I was like, no, we're doing Avatar, The Last Airbender.
Which is a celebration.
Yes.
But I have some severe criticisms. Okay. But it is a good show. I like it.
That is my second favorite show. So that will be next week's episode. So excited about it. I can't wait to talk about it. I could probably read off every episode by heart.
It is a good show. Yeah. I do like it.
Yeah. Can't wait for y'all to hear that.
Yeah.
Hope you guys enjoyed this week. If you have any suggestions, please like, comment, subscribe. Follow us on Instagram at Script Doctor Podcast. And just let us know, guys. Thanks for listening.
See ya.
Bye.